to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Combination for you. Well, if you like those bands, I dug them. I think it's it's a really great song. That one's called Always Let You Down. And when I first saw the video's kind of funny. They're like jousting in the guy's backyard or something like that. But very cool. Very cool. I like both bands a lot. So new music there. Hope you dug it. I want to start the show tonight just basically saying, man, I got a big week ahead of me. Next week is Hell's Heroes here in Houston. It's one of the bigger metal festivals in the U.S. that have been successful and actually happen every year. I think it's like the eighth year in a row they've done Hell's Heroes. And this show is so cool because it's like you're walking back into 1980-something. Probably 1985, 84. Everybody's dressed in metal. Their metal gear with the leather, the spikes. And it's really cool, man. I mean, there's a lot of people like me that they lost their hair and, you know, they're dressed like normal people. But then you get the vibe, and I love it because there's these young people out there. And they're flying the flag for metal. I love it. I think it's awesome. One of the bands I want to talk about just briefly is one of the bands I'm dying to see. And they're headlining day two. It's a band called Loudness. I saw them back in the day. I think the first time they came. Oh, shit. I think 1983, 84. They were on Thunder in the East. And they had a breakout song, Rock and Roll Crazy Nights. So I'm not sure what I'm in for. I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of the more classics. It's going to be classics, so I'm digging that. But I was wondering, it's like, well, what do they sound like today? So those bands, I think the last time I saw was like 1987 at this metal festival with all these other bands and stuff like that. And, you know, shit, fuck, that was... I can't do the math on my hands right now. 87, 20, 26. Let's see. 97, 2017. So almost 40 fucking years since I've seen this band. So I found a song. This one actually came out 8 years ago because the last few songs I saw on YouTube, they came out in Japanese. And I don't just speak the Japanese. So this one's called Soul on Fire. Let's check it out, see what you think. Let's do it.
Boom!
What a cool song, man. It kind of reminds me of stuff that they were doing back in the day. Wow. Good riffs. Kira Takasaki still got it. Minoru can still sing his ass off. So, man, I got to tell you, that's the one. The major band I want to see on this festival. But, hey, there's another band too. Dirk Schneider. Udo Dirk Schneider from Accept is doing the full Balls to the Wall record. Forget about it. How awesome will that be? John, stop fucking mixing your Elvis bullshit with Accept. What the fuck, dude?
It's kind of hard not to do it now.
Did you get the gig?
I'm taking care of business, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, great. All right, well, if you're taking care of business, maybe you're not going to be here much.
Don't count on it, motherfucker.
Yeah, this guy. Why do I deal with this shit? I tell you what, why don't we do some Udo? Or no, let's do some Accept. I'll do something all balls to the wall, but it's not going to be balls to the wall. Because that's what you're thinking. You're like, oh, wow, he's going to play balls to the wall, and I've heard that a million times. No, I'm not going to fucking do that. You know why? Because I don't want to, and I want to play something a fucking deep track. But I'll play a deep track, so I say, oh, I know that song. No, fuck you. Anyway, here's some Accept. Let's do it. Record, like I told you before I played it, eh? If you were paying attention, you knew that. But if you weren't, you're like, oh, what was that song? And what album did it come from? And who was that band? You knew it. I'm fucking with you. But that song's pretty funny. I mean, if you think, there's the one lyric, they're like, write a letter. I mean, who writes letters anymore? I guess it was 1984 or 3 when this came out. I guess we still use the USPS for sending letters. But, I mean, I just talk to somebody. I mean, what are you writing letters for? It's like writing an email now, but you're going to... No, it's texting. See how we've developed over the years, people? Fucking 30-something years later, we're texting and we're not writing letters anymore. Just making an observation. That said, I made another observation the other day. I saw a homeless guy wearing a face mask. If you're homeless, why are you so concerned about catching germs? You're not really dealing with people unless you get the money and maybe you think, well, there's a problem. Maybe I should wear a mask. Maybe that guy's going to cough on me. But if you're homeless, I think you have a lot more to worry about than getting sick. Well, maybe if you get sick, I go, well, that's another story for that too. What do you want? And why are you in my studio?
I'm just saying,
You're saying what? You're just saying what? You just came in and stared at me. I felt like a fucking glare on the back of my neck.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried. What the fuck do you want to say?
Homeless people are people too, right?
Yes, we're all fucking human.
Why are you being such an asshole?
I'm not being an asshole. I'm just saying, why is the guy wearing the fucking face mask?
Maybe he was worried about something.
Worried about what?
Maybe he's missing teeth.
Okay.
Maybe he wants to pull down the mask and blow you. I don't know.
I just know that you need to get the fuck out of here.
All right, done.
Oh, great. It's always great when he's in the studio. Oh, fuck me. Anyway, I'm getting thirsty. I need a beer, people. Let's do this. Mr. G? Wow, silence. Huh. He must have taken a shit on the way back to the office. Let's do this quick, people. All right, I am so excited about this one. I'm not going to lie. I've heard so many great things about this beer. Before it even came out, I mean, there was a hype. So I don't know if I've missed this on the show, but there's a brewery east of Houston in an area called Beaumont. And this guy is building a hype about these hazy IPAs he puts out. And I got to tell you, every one I've had is amazing. I will say the last show I did with Genghis, he did a black hazy, which I was not thrilled with. I thought it was okay. It was not great. It was a weird, weird thing. But this one, there was so much hype. The beer sold out in literally 2 minutes online as soon as he put it on sale. So this one's called Oops, All Hops. A hopsy ale. Oh my god, it's a triple. It's 9.5%, people. Motherfucker, someone getting fucked up tonight. Alright, let's look at this saying. The can's got a hops wearing a baseball hat. Looks like he's all happy and he's just looking at hops. So, fun cans. I like the artwork on their cans a lot. They're usually really cool. The beer itself looks fucking amazing. Hazy as fuck. Kind of pineapple. Yeah, it looks like pineapple juice. It really does. It's interesting. There's no head on this thing. And there's no lacing. So, no head, no lacing. That usually go hand in hand. Again, not taking all points on it. But the appearance is beautiful. I want to drink this so bad. And I got the aroma as soon as I opened the beer. And I was like, holy shit, yeah. I think we got a winner over here. So let me do a closer aroma. Oh my god, it smells so fresh and green. Citrus notes. I know this bitch is going to be rich and creamy. Let me click myself. Oh, yum. Yum, yum, yum. I don't know if I need a second sip over here, but I'll do it just because I want the beer. It's so good. Oh, that's so good. Dude, you were taking a shit or beating off or something. I'm not sure.
You're supposed to wait for me.
Well, dude, I got a show to do. I have things to do, people to see, names to take, and all that shit. Hit the fucking horns already.
Get in there, motherfucker. You'll pay for this. It's in the motherfucking contract.
Yeah, whatever. You can jack off somewhere else in the show. Anyway. So, as you know, it's got a 4. Fucking beautiful beer over here. All right, let's play a song. I got some news here about a band I wasn't even aware of, and this is their second record. So, it's a band called Elegant Weapons. And it's got Richie Faulkner from Judas Priest, and then Ronnie Romero's on vocals. I'm like, huh. So, the first single off this album's called Bridges Burn. And believe it or not, people, I'm going to work on trying to get an interview. But let's check out this song. I heard it. I'm like, hey, that's not fucking bad.
Take the ball. touch it all. You wanna run, you can only crawl. No retreat, complete the fear. Convicted with your guilty plea. Swallow your pride, backslide. Little anger on a ride. Whatever dreams you had alone, when you were exposed, all you do is mourn. Bleeding hearts are but worn. Ashes to ashes, bridges burn. Gone in a flash, the lessons learned. You nail your colors to the mast, and the world still slowly turns. Ashes to ashes, bridges burn.
How'd you like that? I dug that. That was very cool. Bridges Burn. Elegant Weapons is the name of the band. They're coming out on April 24th on Exciter Records. I'm going to work on trying to get an interview with someone in the band, either Ronnie or Richie. We'll see what happens. Don't hold your breath. I tried to get Richie a couple years ago. It didn't happen. But, hey, it's another project. It's not Priest. It's something else. But, you know, my thoughts on this is I think it's cool that Priest is letting him do this. They're older. You know, they're doing a record here and there. They're touring. But they got to be at the end of the game. I stopped seeing them a few years ago just because, I mean, just they weren't good anymore. They were great back in the day. I love Priest. I love the music. The legacy is there for sure. But seeing them live is not a priority for me. There's other bands I'd rather see more that I think these younger bands give more energy on the stage than the older guys. And I get it. I mean, some of these guys are 70-something years old. How much energy are you going to have? If you still sound good, great. But again, I don't want to see you like standing in place because you can't run around the stage anymore. At that point, it's not that much of a show for me. But, hey, is what it is. But again, great song. Congratulations, Richie. I hope the rest of the record's good. And again, we'll try to get him on the show at some point. Next topic I want to bring up is in relation to the interview tonight. So I'm talking to my friend Danny with Wicked, the bass player for Wicked. And he's been on the show a couple times. This will be his third appearance. We're talking about Wicked. And in part of the interview, I don't want to spoil it. But one of the things he pointed out is they're kind of like rooted in 80s hard rock. Which they are. And they put on the stage show like, yeah, it's like you're going back to an 80s rock band. But they're not dated. Their music's fresh. That's the beautiful thing about that band. But a comment he made, he said, we're not a Steel Panther. Even though they all have the blonde hair. And if you look at some of their first videos, they're all wearing white. Almost look like Warrant, kind of. But they're... music is not like that. It's not the trashy lyrics of Steel Panther, which they're funny to me, and they're all accomplished musicians. But Wicked is more of a serious hard rock band. So I try to find out a couple bands that kind of have that old school feel, but they're younger guys. And one I think we played on the show before is Crazy Licks. I believe we played Tail Gunner before, but I found a band called The Cruel Intentions, which I know nothing about. I did a AI fucking Google search. So we're going to listen to The Cruel Intentions, and then we're going to bring in a young school person. A young school. She's not old school. She's 23 years old almost, but she's got her thoughts. She grew up with the dad. Oh, I gave it away. The Metal Munchkin's coming back. All right. Hey, calm down, people. Calm down. She's coming back. But we're going to play The Cruel Intentions first because I raised her listening to a lot of bands like Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard, Winger, Warrant. These are bands she dug. And she still kind of digs some of the hair metal stuff. She'll tell you herself whenever I give her the floor. But she and I are both going to listen to The Cruel Intentions and say, hey, yeah, they got that sound, or wow, they don't sound so good. So, all right, The Cruel Intentions, let's do it. That was Cruel Intentions, Reckoning. Kind of a sleaze rock vibe. Not bad. I gave it two listens, or the Metal Munchkin and I gave two listens, and she's going to give her verdict. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome me back for, I'm not sure what appearance this is. Whatever. Oh, there she's talking, singing heavy metal rolls in the background. Anyway, the Metal Munchkin. Give it up.
Hi.
All right, so Munchkin, what did you think of that?
Definitely not my favorite, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be unbiased without what I like as a person. I think the music is good. I think it's well thought about. The lyrics, not so much. I think his heavy vocals, where he's kind of screaming, mm-hmm, is good. That is a talent. That's hard to do. But his vocals are just almost girlish and kind of are annoying. It sounds like he's very, it's almost sounding that he's, what's the right word? He has like a squeaker on his voice.
Huh.
And it sounds like it's just too high pitched. Like it's almost auto-tuned to be that way. And the lyrics are just terrible.
Oh, well, yeah, we're not even worried about lyrics. But oh, some people do. I don't. But I thought that I didn't like the verses, but I liked the chorus. So when he's singing the chorus, you don't like that part. You didn't like the way he sang in the chorus. So if you could think back to your 80s training when you were growing up, can you compare that to any band you remember listening to? I call it sleaze rock. It's not really Motley Crue or... it's definitely not a Winger or Dokken or anybody like that. I would say more L.A. Guns or Bastard Pussycat or something like that. No?
I think that if we were to go back to the 80s and relate them to somebody, I don't know if I could put my finger on a band. I have one in mind.
Who?
But I can't think of the name. But it does sound like something. I just can't put my finger on it. But it's almost... like they're trying a little bit too hard, maybe. I don't know. It's not my thing.
No, I get it. I mean, I'm kind of trying to think of there was these sleaze rock bands, and they weren't as popular, and I wasn't into them as much as, you know, some of the core bands I showed you, mm-hmm, or you listened to. But there was a band called Smash Gladys. They were kind of sleazy. They had a chick vocalist, and they were actually pretty good. So I tell you what, let's... go old school.
Okay.
Let's play a little Smash Gladys.
Okay.
And then the Munchkin will give her opinion on that. How about that? Let's do it.
Like anyone cares.
Hey. That is so dirty. All right, Munchkin. Did I nail it or not?
You nailed it.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Vocals are like identical.
Yeah, I thought so too.
What else did you nail?
I could feel like he nailed another dude and grew a vagina.
Fuck you. What the fuck is that?
John, just you don't need to get... Wow. Munchkin fucking fighting back against John. Love it. All right. And that's a comparison. So, you know, again, Wicked is a different kind of band where they... I don't know, man. That you can't really say they're dated sounding. This band that we played, The Cruel Intentions, no offense, they have a dated sound.
Yeah.
Wicked has this cool melodic vibe. Cool melodic hard rock vibe that's rooted in older rock but sounds fresh rather than a reproducing like the old stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have so many influences, so you're gonna hear it. And you've heard Wicked before on the show. The guys are fucking amazing. Great guys. I'm just upset that they're not coming to Texas, but Danny and I will talk about that, and we're gonna get that fixed up at some point. So, Munchkin, what's going on with your life music-wise? What is your jam right now? Are you what are you doing? I mean, we don't want to go with the country or rap or anything like that, but what's going on?
Well, I guess right now I can't really say. For the past couple weeks, I've been in the mood where I would rather drive in silence and listen to music.
Really?
Because nothing sounds good. I've tried everything I like. And usually when this happens, I discover someone new randomly, mm-hmm. and I become kind of hyper-focused on it. But right now, nothing. I would prefer a podcast or the street noise.
Like the Ragman Show? Wow.
Probably not.
Cliche, motherfucker.
Fuck you, John.
Yeah, fuck you, John. It's my father you're talking about.
Wow. Wow. I don't know where that came from. He's fucking surly tonight.
Very.
Walking around the studio in his Elvis gear. How'd you like that?
I didn't enjoy it.
Well, it's better than the fucking jock. You know that, right?
I just would rather not see him at all.
Who? Yeah.
That's exactly. The worst Elvis costume I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how he got his hair like that.
Well, do you like how he penciled in the sideburns with permanent marker? He can't wash that off. He's like, I'm not sure what's going on.
It almost looks like he took a shit and smeared it on the side of his head.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not even black.
Like Attorney
brown.
Sanchez, but on his sideburns. Well, no, I've been in that situation before where I'm like, fuck, I don't want to hear nothing. I just want silence. And I think it's a lot of it is mental in that, like, when I'm depressed or I'm in a bad mood, I just want to think, I want my thoughts more than I want music.
Or nothing.
Yeah, but there are times, too, where I'm like, fuck, I'm bored. I've heard these songs a million fucking times. You do the Spotify with the fucking algorithm, and it's like, if you turn off Spotify one time, it's like, oh, I'm going to start fresh. And then you may hear the song you heard a day ago. And I'm like, fuck, I want to hear something. I put new music in all the time. But then it never fucking comes up on the Spotify, which is my bitch with Spotify. I don't know if you get that as well.
I mean, I don't have Spotify anymore. I have Apple Music. But mm-hmm. it does have something where it does pick songs for you. And it typically could be some that you've already heard or on your playlist. But typically it's all new stuff and some of it's shit and some of it's good.
Yeah, no, I get that. And you know, sometimes if you do the shuffle on the Spotify, it's like, hey, I'm going to pick something for you. It's like, oh, why is that on there? Yeah. I don't want that. Get rid of it.
Well, with Apple Music, once you finish your playlist, it will generate songs that tailor to your playlist. But none of my playlists make sense except for my jazz playlist. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just a shit show.
Well, do you Shazam when you're somewhere? Do you get music from Shazam? Like, you're in a place, you don't know the band, you're like, I'll Shazam that, see what it's like.
Sure. And usually it's a song I haven't heard in a long time and I can't remember the name. Or I'm trying to figure out who sings it.
Yeah.
But sometimes.
How many times have you Shazam where you're like, I know the band, but I don't know the song, but I want the song on my playlist?
A lot. That's usually what it is. And maybe I don't even know the band. Sometimes it's random and I just like it.
No, I mean, I'm just specifically, you're like, I know that's, because Shazam's coming up here in a minute. There was a band that I heard at the gym. I'm like, I know that voice. Yeah. It's got to be him, but I don't know the song, and I kind of like the song, so I want to remember the song.
Oh, all the time, yeah. Oh, where wow. You recognize the voice, or it's usually the voice for me where I'm like, who is that? What are they singing? And sometimes with a lot of artists, they usually start off in a smaller band and then go and do their own thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's either their solo music that I only know or only their band music that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go off with a band or whatever, or by themselves.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
And that's where I'll connect it. And I'll be like, oh, makes sense.
Well, I tell you what.
Shazam!
There's Gomer Pyle. It's Shazam time, people. All right, let's see what I did on my last Shazam. I think it was the one I did at the gym. Let me pull this up. I'm pulling up Shazam as we speak. So the Shazam I'm doing tonight is a band like I just talked to the Munchkin about. And I knew the voice. I was like, that's Trent Reznor. But I don't know the song. I will tell you, I kind of checked out of Nine Inch Nails after like the first two or three records. And I love those, but I'm not sure. I just kind of bailed out. But I heard this song. It is called As Alive As You Need Me To Be Me. And I did that a few weeks ago. So I tell you what, let's play some Nine Inch Nails.
Shazam!
First on the Ragman Show, as well as the Genghis and Ragman Show. So, Munchkin, what do you think? What do you like, some Nine Inch Nails or not so much?
Not so much.
Really?
It was weird.
Weird? Nothing, yeah, it's a different song, for sure.
Nothing out of Shazam. It sounds like something that you would, like, let's say you're in Amsterdam and you're in the red light district. That's what, like, it would, that's what would be playing there.
Oh, so it'd be like Sex in the Windows is a creepy, slutty, sleazy vibe.
It's like rock and EDM and weird.
Huh. Well, it kind of fits the mood of the night.
Exactly.
Sleaze rock, and then now we got this Nine Inch Nails making you uncomfortable, and as well as John in the booth. So, there's a lot going on.
Surprised John didn't like it.
Yeah. So, what's the last song you Shazammed?
The last song I Shazammed, I knew the song, but I couldn't remember. I mean, it's in the chorus repeatedly, but I couldn't remember the band, and I didn't want to get the name wrong because, you know, sometimes it's obscure. It was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, shit, really?
Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Oh, wow. All right.
I've been jamming.
Let's play some CCR.
Someone told me love.
is Clearwater Revival, CCR, for you purists out there. Wow, that's pretty cool. Which reminds me of a song that I knew, but I forgot who sang it. So I'm going to do a triple Shazam tonight.
Oh, wow.
I had a triple IPA, so that means three Shazams.
Shazam.
Thank you, Gomer. Here we go. This is the Church Reptile. Here in the church after all these years, forget about it. And that's the funny thing, like the Munchkin was saying, you get in a place and you're like, I know that band, but I forgot who. You know the song, you can sing it, but you forgot who made it. So, hey, we got a lesson tonight. Shazam works for a lot of things. And it helps with your memory when you forget. That's all I'm saying. So, Munchkin, do you have a song that you're jamming to you dig that the fans might dig?
Maybe for more of our female fans. I mean, this is a song that I'm surprised I liked myself, and even when I first heard it, I thought it was kind of cringy. Mm-hmm. But when I listened to the full song and I heard it get kind of heavy, even though not my thing, I ended up really liking it, and I listen to it when I can.
Okay.
It's called In My Room by Julia Wolf.
All right, let's do it. Julia Wolf.
I want your things in my room. I miss you all of the time. I stalk myself on the internet just to see what you'll find. I want your things in my room. I miss you all of the time. You make it look so easy, leaving everything behind. When it's dark out, October will cure me. I'm walking these woods down I-30 or 13. Not asking for much, man. Thought maybe you'd call me. I slid my own door just to see if you'd warn me. Yeah. I want your things in my room. I miss you. Myself on the internet just to see what you'll find. I want your things in my room. I miss you all the time. You make it look so easy, leaving everything behind.
Wow, interesting. That was Julia Stiles.
No, it wasn't. Julia Wolf.
Wolf Stiles. What's the difference?
Not Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. And fucking Harry. And his styling.
It's really bad.
So, I gotta say, I'm not a huge fan. You sent this to me a few weeks ago. And you were like, it sounds like Evanescence, which I agree. What the fuck her name? Amy something or other.
Styles.
Amy Styles. Yeah, Amy Styles. Yeah, that chick. But I don't know. It was a little bit better this time, but still, I mean, the whining, the I don't like that. It's
like
she's going through puberty.
No, it's just I think she has a certain specific voice, and it's nothing like that's out there today that's in mainstream music. Hmm. And it's unique, it's different, and I don't know, I like it.
I got you.
It's good to sing along to.
Sing-along songs are fun.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for listening every week. I want to thank you for your comments when you send them. And I want to thank you again for your 20 years of support.
Yes.
20 years old this year. Fuck that. We are fucking rocking, motherfuckers. And we're not going to stop for another 20. Well, until one of us die or something like that. Not to be morbid.
Morbid.
But anyway, guys, again, thank you for everything. And before the Munchkin and I let you go, we're going to give you two big hoes.
This is Danny from Wicked, and you're listening to The Ragman Show. Horns up. Up, down, 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 I get around. The city loves the sound. And nothing can stop this concrete jungle now. Back when I was such a mess, I blame it on the LES. An unnatural city, inside you.
Guys, you're live. Otto Imato, with a guy that's been on the show, I think, three or four times. He made me want to wear a blonde wig today, but I don't have one. So I'm just going to improvise. And he's looking so fucking rock and roll and cool, and I'm looking like an old man, bald, and wearing glasses. But whatever. I can't see anymore. It happens. But I'm talking to my friend Danny from Wicked. Danny, welcome back to the Ragman Show.
Brother, good to be here. How you doing?
Dude, it's been too long. We need to talk more, and you need to get your fucking ass back to Texas.
That's right, man.
I said the same thing to him.
We can't wait to come back. We're ready to rock with you guys.
Well, you know what? I got a teaser when I saw this poster for Vicious Rumors, and you're on it, but there's these little, again, I got to wear the reading glasses.
Don't you hate when they do
the
that?
The asterisks.
It's like the fine print when you're like signing a contract. Oh, yeah. And by the way.
Yeah. So, dude, I was planning on going to San Antonio because the tour's not going to stop in Houston.
Yeah.
And I reached out to Chip and I'm like, hey, I just want to confirm. He goes, whoops. Sorry, dude. So, let's talk about it. So, when I met the whole band, you guys were open for Vicious Rumors and Raven, which is what a killer show, and Lutharo.
Yeah, that's right.
What a great show. But I guess you build a connection with the Vicious Rumors guys and say, they're like, hey, you want to go on the road or at least for maybe the East Coast stuff?
Yeah. The cool thing about being on tour and the one you referred to is not only, you know, becoming close with the Raven guys even more and, you know, really just learning a lot from these bands and building these relationships, but, you know, the connection. I mean, I remember right after that tour, a couple months later, we went up to Canada and we were partying with Lutharo at their house and,
Oh, nice.
You know, hanging out and stuff. And, you know, and then same thing with VR, right? We kept real close. Actually, Gunner, our drummer, bailed him out after that tour. And when they dropped Larry after that tour on drums, Gunner went and filled in Europe for them. So, it was kind of cool, you know, and like, hey, like, it's all about the community for us, rock and roll and metal. We always preach that, and sometimes it sounds like a broken record, but we practice what we preach, right? You know, we go to support other bands and watch their shows and even like, you know, integrating with them, helping them out, you know, doing some, you know, recordings and stuff. It's kind of what we're all about. It's more fun when there's more people involved, right? So
yeah.
So that's kind of where, where this whole thing came from. And in VR, you know, Jeff's great. He's like, hey, we're going on another tour, and it didn't work for our schedule to go all the way around the U.S. this time. But we jumped on some dates that are coming up at the end of March, and we'll be hitting the Northeast. So it's a good time. You know, we just dropped a couple of singles this year, and we've got an album that's going to drop later this summer. So we're just kind of getting our legs out there, gearing up for more to come for sure.
Awesome. Well, let me ask you this, because you said you couldn't do the whole thing. You got something else planned. I'm not sure if you can talk about it, if it's more live engagements or you're just trying to get the record done, or what? Is the record done? I guess question one.
Record's done, man, and it's really those live engagements. So we're saving our schedule for a bigger move that we're not going to announce today, but that is going to be coming in conjunction with that album release this summer. So we're excited. We're working out the details, and you know, big picture for Wicked is, you know, we want to go and bring the new album Go Rebel, as it's titled, around the U.S. again, and then next year we want to bring it internationally, around the
Oh,
globe.
nice.
So and we're working on those plans as well, in parallel. So it's, you know, it's a big thing for us because you know, as our music evolves and as we're building this brand and, like I said, this community, you know, it's powering up, man, and it's gonna be bigger than it was before. We're graduating every time we do something. That's always the goal for us, right? And taking it to new heights and levels, and we're excited for everybody to see what we're coming out with. So.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. And you guys, you know, from when I discovered you, you know, a couple years back, you've been top notch from the beginning. And the way
Appreciate
you
that,
do
man.
things is seems like you've everything's thought out and you guys do well. And I hope this record does what you're hoping because the music's great. Stands on its own, your live performance stands on its own as well.
I mean, I appreciate that. Those are big accolades. You know, like we've talked before, the live performances, you know, is really an important thing to us, and being able to make a record, you know, that sounds great. But that we could also go and perform live is so big, you know, because if you go to see a Wicked show, it's a mix of, you know, the musicality and the storytelling, but it's also that high energy, right? And that takes a certain skill set. I don't know if we got that from our hockey days or what, but it's like a full on you know, full body contact sport out there, so.
Awesome. Well, do you have a name for the new record yet?
Yeah, it's going to be actually titled Go Rebel,
Okay.
same as the single that just dropped. And the reason we titled it that way is it really summed up what it was all about. We wanted this thing to be a call to action, or like a verb really, for the fans, for the people who are into rock and roll, right? Because we see Go Rebel as something that speaks, as an album, it speaks to more than just us. We're not just here to talk about ourselves and be, you know, snooty, narcissistic rock stars, right? This is about the community, that I keep talking about, and the people that show up to shows and live the lifestyle, right? And it's big, right? That's the important thing here that we're really trying to sum up in an artistic, fun way, and we want to pay some homage to all the great people out there that keep this scene alive. So.
Well, I tell you what, let's talk about the new single, Go Rebel. I like it. It's a really cool song. It's more up tempo, and it's just a party rock song. It's like when you get in the car, you want to roll down the windows, crank it up. Gotti mentioned that you guys were listening to a lot of Jet when you were thinking about writing this song. So I forgot who Jet was, so I had to go back and
Right.
look him up because they were kind of Beatlesque a little bit, but more early 2000s. So kind of tell me how the whole thing evolved.
Yeah, do it for me, we at least
Absolutely. I mean, like Scott said, Jet, you know, you always have like a set of influences that's kind of at the core, and we talk a lot about how we try to draw a broad influence, but when it comes to like the rock and roll core of what we do, you know, we do have a span that goes all the way from like the 1970s to, you know, the 90s and 2000s, where like it's like our sweet spot, right? And there's been bands in the latter of those years, like Jet, like Silvertide, if you remember those guys from back in the day, in the 2000s. And these bands that were new, like kind of new bands back then, like mm-hmm. we're doing now, they had just this, yeah, they have a little bit of Beatles, they have AC/DC, maybe they got some blues like Silvertide, but they've always had that like anthem-y song, right? Whether it be Cold Hard Bitch or Are You Gonna Be My Girl, or Silvertide had that Ain't Coming Home. And we love that, right? It usually has this like heavy hitting, you know, thumping kick drum, you know, the bass is pumping, and it evokes that emotion of the crowd getting their hands in the air, pumping their fists. And like you said, like a very party vibe without making it parody, right? Yeah. Certainly not looking to be a Steel Panther. So those are the kind of bands that really took themselves seriously but had a great time doing it. And that's where we got all that inspiration, man. And, you know, it fit perfectly in Go Rebel. We went into it and the lyrics just started to pour because it's like this conversation, you know. I think some of the early like verse lyrics are like, do it for you, do it for your enemy, right? Like you're having this conversation again, like I said, with the crowd that encompasses, you know, these people who love rock and roll and metal and stuff. And it was just a fun song to make. And we were seeing all this imagery too that just coincided with the things that we were really enjoying non-musically in a day-to-day life. And that's, you know, these muscle cars that we got and racing around and all this fun, you know, kind of motorhead like stuff. So that kind of seeped into some of that musicality and the vibe of it, really.
Well, I got to ask you, I saw on social media on Instagram that Scotty's driving a Corvette doing donuts in a parking lot. Is that his car? Did you rent it for this little video, or is it his ride?
Oh, we've got a sick addiction, and it goes beyond guitars and drums and gear and stuff like that, which, you know, if you thought it couldn't get any worse when it comes to the price tag on that stuff, we find, you know, ways to get our hands on these cars. And and Scott
illegally, legally.
Yes, legally. And Scott wheeled and dealed, and he got that Corvette, but it was, it had to do with a trade of his old Camaro. He had a 90s Camaro. So like I said, there's always some kind of wheeling and dealing, and we're always trying to one-up each other. I think back a few months ago, we did this thing where we like pulled out all of our guitars and like we're like trying to like flex on each other, like who's got the cooler ones or more. And now it's a car thing, right? So Scotty's got the Corvette. I rolled up, I wheeled and dealed and got rid of some stuff, and I came up with a 66 Chevelle SS.
Oh, nice.
You know, so it's always something, right? And but we're just into that, man. It's what makes us excited and happy, and we love a nice rumble on 396, and you know, what more can you want?
Awesome, man. Well, just last thing to touch on, the chorus in Go Rebel is so catchy. I can see it going over well live. I'm sure you played it live so far already, hadn't you?
We have, man. Now people really get into it, and we've got a music video that's coming out next week, and you'll kind of get a little bit of a look inside the curtain during that chorus. Those woo woos with the female voice was actually Krista from Lotharo.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, awesome, man.
So awesome. Go figure, right? Yeah.
So that's one thing I loved about Sunburn. You guys did so many cool videos. And so let me ask you, are you planning on doing the same sort of thing to promote Go Rebel?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'll give you a little bit of a breakdown and a sneak peek at what's to come. So, you know, our first single we dropped was Obsession, and that had a cool live video, live visualizer video, right? And so a lot of scenes and behind the scenes footage of us playing the House of Blues last year with Metal Allegiance, and man, killer shots. I mean, what a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
The energy is just up, up, up. Go Rebel is a little hint to what's to come in the coming week. That one's going to be a look at what it's like in the studio with us.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So we're giving all these different perspectives and keeping it fresh. And then we've got the coolest thing, which is something to really, I'll tease this for people to look forward to, is probably in the spring you're going to see three videos drop in sequence, and what we did was we actually filmed them that way, right? So like a mini movie, if you will.
Oh,
or storyline.
Yeah.
And we just said, like, hey man, like, you know, when we do this stuff, we want it to be fun for us as well, and that's exactly what we did. We got out to sunny California, and you'll see the little story we put together. It's fun.
Dude, I can't wait. I love the video for Gorgeous. So funny, it's, man.
So
I love
cool.
that video so well. So I'm looking for more comedy when I'm watching you guys play and stuff like that. So very cool. Let me ask you this. As far as Go Rebel, how would you compare like Sunburn to Go Rebel? Is it a maturing of the sound, or did you switch much up? Kind of what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's got a different vibe and tone to the album as a whole. There's some heavier pieces in it, and we definitely switched up some of the influences. I'd say Sunburn, looking back on that in retrospect, that's kind of, it had a very lamenting nature to the perspective of the album and what it was about. It was us looking back on ourselves and kind of lamenting on our past actions, if you will, and the debauchery and whatnot. The Go Rebel is more of a forward look, like I said, and it's a little less poppy, I'd say, and it's got some cool things that we just kind of pushed the barriers with, and you know, we said, hey, metal breakdown here, let's try this, let's just try some different things that are going to freshen this thing up and take it to a whole different place. So yeah, I'm excited, man. I love the growth aspect and the creative process. So,
well, I do want to ask you this. So as far as like touring with some of these heavier bands,
yeah,
do you think that's rubbing off on your sound a bit?
I think it is, and that's the cool part of where you bring influences from. Like, you know, we could get influenced just from going on vacation or hanging out, but playing with bands like, you know, Vicious Rumors and Raven, we're definitely picking up some things that are exciting us and whatnot. So we look forward to it, man. It's always it's a learning lesson, and hats off to those guys because they built legacies. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So let's talk about Obsession, which I love this song. It's kind of more mid-tempo. It's almost kind of a melodic, darker sound to it. And then there's a breakdown before the solo where you see that heavy or hear that heaviness. And I was like, fuck, really? I had to go back and rewind it a few times. I'm like, am I hearing this right? I love it. It's great.
Obsession was really one of those songs off the album, like you said, that you know, we really threw a different angle at it, and it changed last minute too a bit. We had like some of those heavy parts in it and whatnot, and we really wanted it to have that dark, heavy, but melodic vibe. But what we ended up doing when we were, you know, going back and we made a last revision on it is the revision was mostly in the verses, and we opened those up a little bit. We wanted to create some space, right? And space is your friend, for a little bit of breath in there. And so we reworked a little bit of that, but it was a fun process, I'll tell you. I think, you know, truth be told, you know, we were coming off of, like, you know, the tour with Vicious Rumors and Raven and some of that heavier influence. And we were listening to a lot of bands, you know, that were a bit on the heavier side, like Ghost and stuff like that, but still with melody. So, you know, it's always cool, dude. Like, there's so much good stuff out there. And at the end of the day, though, no matter what we're getting influence from and how we're writing this stuff, is it's funny because it always just comes out of the Wicked blender, you know. And we'll sit down and we'll reflect on some of the stuff that we are putting together and writing, and we'll look at, you know, kind of the scene out there, if you will. And there's just a lot of blues rock lately, you know, a lot of that Nashville rock, if you will. And we feel pretty good about the fact that we're kind of keeping that Scorpion-esque UFO yeah. vibe to our core of our sound. So
I love that, man. I love that. So has the writing process changed within the band on the new project, Go Rebel? Or is it kind of the way it always has been? I know you guys are... You've been together longer and longer and longer, right? So yeah. Does anything change? How's the, like, does Scotty bring in an idea, or do you bring in an idea, or is Chad or Gunner? How does that work?
Well, it's cool. That process hasn't changed much. We have a very fluid process when it comes to, you know, the early on writing phases, and mostly it's casual, right? Like, since we live together, like we've talked about before, you know, we'll just sit down and get together. You know, it'll be in the living room, on the back deck, maybe we're on the road somewhere. And it's cool because a lot of times the boys, Chad and Scotty from the guitar team, they're really pushing the band. You know, they'll come up with these killer riffs and hooks. And I'd say that would be one of the new things, is they're really starting to step up to the plate and come up with more and more of those ideas that are, you know, they'll tantalize these evolutions of what are to be songs. And then, you know, every now and then I'll have an idea lyrically or like a topic wise. But like I said, the boys really push this album with their guitar riffs up front in terms of the writing process and starting the whole thing. And we took a little bit of a different approach in the studio too, is with this album, we have our own home studio, and we did a lot of work there to get it, you know, pre-produced. But we actually went to this studio that's not too far from us in New York called Linden Oaks. You know, it's had folks like Foreigner and Jay Giles Band and stuff like that. But this place is just huge and massive. And when you see the Go Rebel video that shows the studio footage, you'll see what I'm talking about. The drum room is just massive. And so we really got this big sound on the drums that was different than the first two albums. And we had all this new gear and stuff, analog, right? Not plugins. And so we kind of dived into that. And we played with a little bit of our guitar setup. You know, traditionally, the first couple albums, you're probably looking at, you know, JCM 800 heads, Marshall cabinets, the standard, you know, Ampeg, whatnot. And what we did with Go Rebel is we tried some different stuff. We threw in some Mesa Boogie in there. And I even played with, you know, the type of Ampeg cabinets. It's hard to get me away from Ampeg, but... I was on a B15 flip top amp, and we really got that thing pumping in that big room. So it was kind of cool, man. The process evolved along with us.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So the new record comes out in the summer. Is it early or late summer?
It'll be late summer.
And 13 songs. A question I have. So after Sunburn had been out and you guys were touring, you put out two singles, Hellraiser and Reptile Roots, which... Last time we spoke, you said they were actually old songs that you tweaked with and put them out. Are those going to be on the record, or is it 13 brand new songs?
So we could break something here today. This will be awesome. Perfect timing. So you're on to something, right? So we're going out on these few dates with Vicious Rumors. We wanted to do something special, and we know a lot of people really love Reptile Roots and Hellraiser. Well, we got those two songs, Obsession and Go Rebel, on a CD that's going to be a limited hand-numbered CD, only available at the shows. Maybe we'll save a couple for our friends like yourself, aside. But these are going to be special, signed, and we're not going to reprint these. And they'll be out at the tour dates. And then we've got two other songs that I won't spoil yet here. They'll have to be a surprise when you get it, but they will be songs that we will not release elsewhere. And
Well,
one of them is another pretty heavy song, which we think is pretty killer. So,
sweet.
yeah, so we try to keep it fun for the fans, and this will be a cool little collector's piece for sure.
And I will say this, I was holding up Sunburn to you earlier, with everybody's signature. Guys, if you go check them out, the guys are at the booth, they're very available, walk around the show, and so personable. I mean, we all had beers together before and after the show. And no, you guys are awesome. I love how in touch you are with your fans. And like you said, you're not the narcissistic rock star, like I'm too good for this type guy. I know you're still a young band, but I love that you're so personable with the fans and so kind to take time and talk to people. So my hats off
Absolutely,
to you.
man. It's about the experience, We're here to have fun, and do a killer job in the midst of it, so.
Awesome. Well, I was going to ask you what one of the craziest things you guys have done, but before I do, I have to ask you about something else I saw on social media. You're playing a pirate float in, I think, Tampa Bay or something like that. And then there's this one view where you guys are ducking under a bridge that had to be kind of messed up. Tell me what that was, how the experience was, and is that one of the crazier things you guys have done? If not, I need to know number one.
Oh, dude, it's so we go down this past it was in February, I think, and we're down in Tampa for this the largest event in Tampa, the third largest parade in the nation, and it's called Gasparilla. Very cool event. We were lucky to be on the Voodoo Chef Foundation and Monster Energy float during this parade, and we were the only rock band that was involved.
Wow.
So pretty cool. The parade goes all the way down Bayshore Boulevard into the city. So you're talking about like a nice little 4 hour parade route. And we're on top of this pirate ship float and we're just playing. And it is like so cool because, like, what a challenge. You're out there in the open air. You got to get that sound out there. And I'm telling you, Tampa Bay came out and they just rocked. I mean, people, listening to our songs, hands in the air, singing along. We do a little pre-show and then we just play the whole time we roll
Wow.
through. What a blast it was. Met tons of new awesome people, and there's these parts of the route that get interesting, right? So you talked about that bridge. Everybody starts yelling, "Duck, duck, everybody heads down. We're crossing the bridge." And you gotta like pull all the mics down and pull the PA off of the PA stands
Yeah.
and get down as low as possible to make this low clearance bridge. So the funny story is we get past that bridge and we're like, all right, we made it. And then all of a sudden the float takes a sharp turn to the right around this bend, and this tree branch just comes across like a
Oh shit.
guillotine, and you could just see Scotty and our roadie David just go ah, and they get taken out. It's hilarious,
That's
dude.
awesome.
I'll tell you, that parade is one of the crazier things. Very much like a Mardi Gras vibe with everybody with the beads out there and everything. But yeah, it was a wild time, and we just had an absolute blast rocking with them.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it was so cool because, like you said, it looked like Mardi Gras. It's all beads and stuff like that. You guys were pounding Jack at some point, and then at some point it said that you guys lost power or something like that.
Oh yeah, no kidding, man. The generator went out, and so it was so crazy because like We're blessed, man. I'll tell you, the group of guys in this band is just top notch. And Gunner's just like, well, I'm not out of power. He just starts into a drum solo that went until the generator came back on. And you know what? What a cool thing! It kept everybody excited and going. And like, you know, you asked the question, you know, in terms of the craziest things we've done, that from a performance standpoint has got to be right up there because it's just like such a different environment, and you got to, like I said, just kind of pivot with it as you go, so not
Yeah.
knowing what to expect.
Well, let me ask you this. What's your favorite song to play live out of your catalog? If
Ooh,
you
that's a
can
good
pick one.
question. Oh man, I probably say Reptile Roots for sure, and we close the show with that pretty religiously. It's just got that, like, you know, ferocity to it, in my opinion. You know, it's a good rock and roll song, and everybody loves those type of songs from our catalog, it seems. So we did that, and we augmented it with just this killer ending, right? Like, you know, I'm wearing the helicopter shirt, but very much in that vein of bands like that. And you know, the Chad and Scotty just go into this blazing outro of guitar work interweaving together, sometimes coming in harmony, sometimes just working with each other. And Gunner amps up the drums, but it steps up every bit of the way, measure by measure, until all of a sudden Gunner's just like almost like just blast beating at the
Yeah.
end, and everybody's just cranking it into this big ending with the big Kiss chords at the end. So
Oh,
it's
hell
just
yeah.
It's like, how do we inject as much rock and roll energy into this song to really close the show? And that's one of the favorite ones to play for sure.
That's awesome. Well, if you come, no, not if, when you come back to Texas,
That's
I
it.
will find you. You have to play Callie, my girlfriend. It's her like favorite song from
Yes.
me. Remember that?
Absolutely.
I think
Yeah,
we took pictures in our Wicked shirts and I sent it to you.
we really enjoyed that. That was awesome.
So, Danny, before we let you go, what do you want to tell the fans out there?
Listen, you know what? This is the message for you. We got tons of rock and roll coming your way, and as we talked about, Go Rebel is really about the fans and the community. So come on out, enjoy a live show, and sink your teeth into some new music. I'm telling you know, we're seeing those great, amazing, legendary bands, you know, kind of start hanging their hats up. And they've had amazing careers that should be celebrated. But we are bringing that nostalgic rock and roll and metal feel, and we're just turning it into your modern day anthems. So we're here for you, and we want to see you out there rocking with us.
Awesome. Well, Danny, I do have one more question. I meant to ask you this. Metal Hall of Fame, you guys did that again this year. How did it compare from last? I mean, I don't know if you had to deal with the Shrieker, other known as Eddie Trunk. I gave you shit
Dude.
last time,
Dude,
but.
we had a blast. Metal Hall of Fame, always a good time. I'll say it was a very interesting year because, you know, on the Sunset Strip this time. So you're kind of walking in the footsteps of some of that lore. And I'll tell you, everything from the red carpet to the show, very cool. What a power-packed lineup of, you know, historic legends, you know, from Chris Holmes to Rat. And Doug Aldrich, you name it, right? Like a really, really cool event. A lot of awesome people out there from, new bands in the industry hanging out. And I just, again, I got that vibe that like it's coming alive, man. Rock and roll and metal is coming back, and that we're ready for it to just blossom into the next level of something that's just absolutely insane. So, hats off to everybody involved, and we're super excited to see you all out there again.
Dude, I agree with you. I think the music coming out today, there's some really good music coming out. So I see that rock rejuvenation coming out there, and hopefully, you guys can get out there on bigger tours and stuff like that. It's crazy with these tours with the ticket prices, but I would think to see you guys would be a reasonable price and good for your dollar. But some of these old bands are charging, you probably see it too, like Rush, $400 a ticket, and it's
So I
crazy.
say we get into the new music now because it's like it's grassroots, right? It's like where rock and roll started. It didn't start on these mega stages with these huge ticket prices. It started in the CBGBs, right? It started in the garages, and that's where that passion and ferocity is at its truest level. So if you've never seen a show of new bands coming out with that passion and ferocity, that's where you want to be because you're missing it.
Well, one last question. Metal Hall of Fame, where was it at? It looked like at one point you were in the Whiskey, and I thought I saw Carlos Cavazo, Rat, so Rat was playing. Was it held there, or where was it actually held?
It was actually right in the Roxy. So it was
Oh,
a
okay.
cool transition in that alley between the Rainbow and the Roxy. We had a cool red carpet event, went in, Roxy had the show, and then everybody migrated from the Roxy back over to the Rainbow afterwards for drinks and food and
Oh,
stuff. And it was
nice.
like the old times. Everybody was in a different booth. You had Lorraine Lewis coming up, giving us kisses and hugs while we're, doing shots together, booth to booth. It was pretty badass, man.
That's awesome. Oh, I do have, I keep saying last question. I promise this last one.
You
Okay,
good?
like, when you were in Houston, we drank craft beer.
Yes.
You're in Rochester.
That's it.
Dude, so do you have a favorite craft brewery? There's a brewery up in Albany called Fidens, if you ever get to Albany. Oh my God,
Have
if
to
you love
check
the
that out.
hazies, you know I love the hazies.
Oh yeah,
So
hazies are my favorite too.
dude, you gotta go to Fidens.
I'll check that out. I gotta say right now in our area close to home, if you gotta check out a place called the Other Half Brewery. It's
Oh, their
pretty
shit's
good.
great. We get a little bit of that here in Houston. It's amazing. Well, Danny, I want to thank you for coming back on the Ragman Show. You're always welcome, my friend. One day we just need to get on and talk music. That's like old school,
Absolutely.
new school, all that stuff. But guys, I want to tell you to go get the new single. Go Rebel. Be a rebel and get that fucking single. And then be obsessed with Obsession. And then get ready for the brand new record this summer. So before we let you go, we're going to do something very special. Horns
Horns up.
up!